in great need of the help of God by and through the Holy Spirit, I venture this afternoon to direct your thoughts and attention to the word which is found in the Gospel according to John, chapter 12, reading verse 27. John chapter 12, verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. These, of course, are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is evident that here he, as the Son of Man, was viewing the day of his betrayal and the days, the time of his sufferings and of his death were ever drawing closer. And indeed, it struck me that I believe in prayer I mention those words of Jesus. Jesus, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And they are in the opening verse of the next chapter, chapter 13. Wherein the account of the Last Supper, as it is sometimes called, the account of the Last Supper before the Lord Jesus entered into Gethsemane, is recorded there. So here in this 12th chapter, he was ever drawing nearer to that solemn time. And here he was moved. The Lord Jesus Christ was moved. And you see here we have another evidence of his sacred humanity. I felt encouraged to mention this because we have just sung in those lines of the hymn, that on wings of love the Saviour flies, and freely left his native skies to take a human birth. And dear friends, there were those times in his pilgrimage here below when scriptures are so full of the Lord Jesus Christ as a man. Yet he was a sinless man, a very, very holy man, such a man as never before nor since has ever walked this earth. But dear friends, there are these places where we are given a little glimpse again. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? You see, dear friends, how this surely points, undoubtedly points, and shows us that the Lord Jesus Christ was made as a man. He was born of a woman and made under the law. if we might consider it in this way for a moment, how could divinity, how could a person, a holy, holy God, sublime in his majesty and in his divinity, how could ever such a God know what it is to be troubled in the soul? A divine God, a holy God, could never know the very nature of God. How could he ever be troubled in this way? Because God is all-powerful, all-wise. He is the creator and the sustainer of all things. And now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? And I thought of this. However could it be, and I would say it with reverence, however could it be that God should be lost for words? God who spoke the world into being, and in the beginning God said, let there be light, and there was light. But here, in his sacred humanity, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Oh, dear friends, how many times do you and I come to the place where we are uttering more or less the same words? What shall I say? What shall I say? There are sometimes those things that we are told. There are those things, perhaps, that concern us personally. For instance, it comes to mind if someone goes to the doctor or the hospital and there is a diagnosis of something, an illness that you never thought would ever be your case, and you have to say, what shall I say? What shall I say? And many, many things we are brought into such a place. Now, dear friends, without a doubt, here is the record of the Holy Scripture, the Son of Man, but yet nonetheless the Son of God. Two persons, two natures in one person, that union which is a mystery, a great mystery. And dear friends, if a mystery is a mystery, God means that. It is a mystery. And without controversy, says the Word of God, great is the mystery of godliness. God manifest in the flesh. We cannot lay it straight with our natural minds, friends. But it's a truth. And here is every evidence of it and the fulfillment of it. Now is my soul troubled. The Lord Jesus Christ. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Oh, dear friends, I felt since I have sat in the pulpit here this afternoon. You see, dear friends, oh, what a blessing it would be if you and I were taken a little out of our poor selves to view this wonderful, glorious God-man, to view him and to consider him. And now is my soul troubled. hear the Lord Jesus Christ speak of his distress. And what shall I say? Oh, dear friends, if we were given a glimpse of him, it would take us right out of ourselves. And this is what we need. Oh, friends, do you know, and some of us, I trust, we have felt through the Spirit's teaching a little. That's what we need. Pour not on thyself too long, says the hymn writer, lest it sink thee lower. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus, kind and strong, pity joined with power. And dear friends, yes, we might say, well, here he appears to be weak. He appears to be weak. And now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? But dear friends, the covenant. Here is the author and finisher of that glorious covenant of grace. And before the verse comes to a close, I know the verses are a somewhat artificial division of the word of God, but before these words that I've read as the text, before they come to a close, dear friends, we find the strength and the power. Father, save me from this hour. A further, we might wonder at it. Father, save me from this hour. And yet, the last clause, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Oh, friends, here is the eternal Son of God. In the flesh, but dwelling in his divinity, in the flesh. But for this cause came I unto this hour. In the eternity past, the Holy Father put into the bosom of his Holy Son every soul in the covenant of grace, and not one of them shall be lost. Not one of them shall be left behind. Not one of them shall be left out. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Ah, dear friends, the everlasting love of Jesus to his dear people, and that purpose for which he came must be fulfilled. But for this cause came I unto this hour. I was somewhat struck when you sang, and I looked at the opening verse of the opening hymn. You know, dear friends, we come at times to gloomy hours, don't we? The hymn writer saw fit to pen these lines. Christ is the keeper of his saints. He guards them by his power, subdues their numerous complaints in every gloomy hour. I wondered if there are those here who've come to a gloomy hour in your life. The Lord sees and the Lord knows. These seasons, it may not just be 1 hour, of course, but it's a season, it's a time. And the Lord brings his people to these hours in their life, these seasons. And so it was now with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Oh, dear friends. And the Lord Jesus, he mentioned that when they came to take him. And here, when he uttered these words, he knew that that hour was almost upon him. But do you remember in Luke's gospel when they came for him to take him away, when he was betrayed in the garden? And those words that he spoke, when I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. The power of darkness. Sometimes, dear friends, the Lord's people feel the power of darkness. Job felt it, didn't he? Job felt it. It's one of those scriptures that I find somehow seems to draw me to it. Dear Job, in his distresses, when he could not find his God, that was darkness. When he could not find him. But at the end of that 23rd chapter of Job, he comes to this confession: for God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off before the darkness. No, dear friends, it isn't always the Lord's way, as it were, to spare his people these dark hours. It isn't always his way. And Job knew what it was because he was not cut off before the darkness. No, he had to feel it. Neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. I believe Job felt to be enveloped in darkness when he penned these lines. But dear friends, it's nothing compared with that hour of darkness that the Lord Jesus was called to. But this is your hour and the power of darkness, he said, when they took him from Gethsemane. Now, dear friends, here the Lord Jesus Christ, he anticipates. Now, sometimes it's like that with us, isn't it? We anticipate something we know that's coming, and we shrink from it. And perhaps our language is, even to the Lord, Father, save me from this hour. But you see, dear friends, none of us can answer in the same way that the Lord Jesus answered his Holy Father. But oh, what weight of souls lay upon the dear Saviour when he said, but for this cause. Dear friend, it was for everyone, every blood-bought soul, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Well, the word here then speaks so much of this hour. It seems to be more evident to me as I speak from it to you this afternoon, this hour. I do not know what your pathways are, but the Lord knows. Perhaps there is something looming before you, and with all your heart and with all your soul, you cry, Father, Lord, God, Lord Jesus, save me from this hour. You shrink. But oh, look here, a poor trembling sinner. The Lord Jesus, can you say your Saviour? Is he? Can you and I say my Saviour? He walked this way. He walked this path. And it was not only here, was it? It was also in Gethsemane. Oh, my Father, if it be possible. Perhaps that's in your heart. If it be possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Now, again, the difference between the Lord Jesus and ourselves. He had perfect knowledge. He, being omniscient, had perfect knowledge of all that he had come to fulfill and what he must suffer, and that he must, for his dear people, and he would, through love, lay down his life for his sheep. But for this cause came I unto this hour. He was going to lay down his life for them. Now, dear friends, with us, we are not always so in the clear, if I put it like that, why we are come to certain points and places. Indeed, we may be very unsure. But if the Lord were to shine into your heart and into mine and cause us to know that it is his will, it is his purpose that we are brought to the place that we are brought and the point that we are brought. But for this cause came I unto this hour. And dear friends, so the Lord has his purposes. He brings his dear people by those paths that they have not known. The blind spoken of in the prophecy of Isaiah. He does these things for them and with them. And what does he say? I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them into paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and a crooked thing straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. Oh, friends, this is what the Lord Jesus has accomplished for his people, because he has suffered in their place, in your place, if you are one of his. What an if. Oh, dear friends, will you not and do we not have cause to come with the dear psalmist? I thought of it just now. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Oh, friends, nothing less than this will do. We need it from his own mouth, that we might have that token that we are one of his. And then, dear friends, we shall know that he is leading us, and he is bringing us by the way that we should go. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. For this cause came I unto this hour. And dear friends, though there may be the mountain, though there may be the impossibility, yet the Lord will make a way. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, crying grace, grace unto it. Oh, dear friends, this is the way your Saviour walked, and shall his people not have in their measure to follow him? These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. He will not forsake you. though the Lord Jesus Christ came to the cross and his cry was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Friends, we shall never have to know that in its fullest extent if we are one of his. Think of it. He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Father, save me from this hour. Well, whatever the thing may be, the Lord knows all about it. And dear friends, the Lord Jesus has walked the path before us. Now is my soul troubled. Now. Oh, some of these things that bring dismay upon our spirit, bring concern, because we know that we are no match for the circumstances. We have no might. Look at Jehoshaphat, the dear godly king, with all that came against him and Judah. For we have no might against this great company that cometh out against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Are upon thee. Now is my soul troubled. But dear friends, here is the one upon whom our eyes must be fixed. Because he has passed through these things, and he says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. In the world ye shall have tribulation. We cannot escape it. We cannot. That's the trouble. That's our trouble. We want to, don't we? We try and escape it. We try and get out of it. We want to try and go round it perhaps. But friends, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Oh friends, there is the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And dear friends, every one of his dear people will overcome through him. And that is the song of heaven. As they overcame that devil, the devil, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. It's an amazing truth that was revealed to John on Patmos. They overcame through the blood and the word of their testimony. Now, dear friends, here is the one who is the leader. Here is the one who has gone before. Now, he says, is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Oh, dear friends, in a way, I was in this place so needing the Lord to give me his word to come to you this afternoon. And my thoughts went to one truth and then another. And I could not feel it was the Spirit's leading. And it brought me into the dust. And you see, dear friends, in a way, I was brought here a little. What shall I say? Oh, whatever it might be with you, dear friends, how the devil will make havoc when we're brought to a stand. He'll try and tell us all sorts of things. But, dear friends, the Saviour stood here too. Oh, do you know, was he your Saviour? If he was your Saviour, he has conquered for you. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Stand ye still and see the salvation of your God, which he will show to you today. Oh, friends, we have a wonder-working God. And He alone can make the way through the Red Sea. And how the poet puts it in that very sacred way, through the Red Sea of His own blood, reconciled the hell-deserving sinners, cleansed them from all their sins. Are you standing before the throne of God, and what shall I say? Oh, friend, have you anything to say? A guilty sinner before an holy God. Now, you see, the Lord Jesus Christ was holy, spotless, innocent and pure, but He had to stand in the sinner's place. He was made sin for us. And what shall I say? What shall I say? What a mystery. Oh, dear friends, what a place. Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Now, friends, here, as I've already said, the Lord Jesus Christ, in His glorious person as the Son of God, He knew why He had come. He knew. And in that everlasting love, He was to undertake, and He would go through. Oh, friends, when He said in another place, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened until it be accomplished? But accomplished it was, and accomplished it must be, for love of His dear people. And that they might be delivered forever from the power of death, from the power of sin, from the power of the grave, from the power of Satan. For this cause, oh wondrous cause, oh blessed cause for poor sinners to contemplate. For this cause came I unto this hour. And dear friends, He shrunk not. Though in His flesh, we read in the Garden of Gethsemane, don't we? There appeared an angel unto Him, strengthening Him. But He did not falter, I would say it with reverence. No. Well, friends, what a subject this is really. It contains and treats upon some most blessed and sacred things. But may it be to poor sinners a little contemplation. Oh, if we were drawn. Oh, that we might see the Lord Jesus Christ in His person as the Son of Man. Oh, now is my soul troubled. Yes, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But He couldn't leave it there. No. Oh, dear friends, the wonder of redeeming love. But for this cause came I unto this hour. And see, dear friends, when the Lord brings us a little to view Him, to be softened under some realization of what He has done for us, then it will make you and I willing to suffer for Him. It will make us willing. But, oh, friends, how much it seems to take to bring us there. Some of us have to confess it and own it with grief. How much it has taken, does take, for the Lord to bring us to that place to be willing. But for this cause came I unto this hour. And did Jesus, says one, did Christ, my Lord, suffer? And shall I repine? Oh, God forbid, if he has called us to suffer for his sake. Well, a few poor rambling thoughts. May we view him in these truths, and may our love be kindled, our love to him be kindled afresh, that we might be more willing, if that's possible to understand, to walk in the path he has appointed. Amen.